Great. Well, have you ever done something that was kind of completely awful, but yet completely 100% by accident? I know I've done these things many, many times, but the one that kind of springs forward to mind, first of all, is the time where I completely accidentally kicked a bride on her wedding day in her white dress. And I'm not going to go too much into detail, but all I'm going to say is it involved an unfortunate combination of A, really bad timing, and B, over-extravagant dance moves. I'll leave that to your imagination. But I think it was okay. I don't think I kicked her too hard. And I'm not even sure if she remembers it. But at the time, I felt pretty bad. But I've kicked a bride. But as of yet, so far, to my knowledge, in my lifetime, I have not accidentally killed anyone. And I'm assuming that most people here haven't either, but you can never be too sure. But here in Joshua chapter 20, we find that actually the Old Testament, in the law, they had a contingency plan. They had a contingency plan for this very occasion, for the very occasion of someone killing someone completely, accidentally, completely unintentionally. And this contingency plan all revolved around what was called the cities of refuge. So what were these cities of refuge? Well, these cities of refuge were kind of placed strategically, geographically around Israel, so that wherever you were in Israel, there was always a city of refuge within a clear and quick route, so that you could get to them quickly. So if you did accidentally kill someone, completely unintentionally, completely accidentally, you could run there and you could find solace. You'd have to stand at the gate and beg entrance and say, please let me in. I've killed someone and it wasn't my fault. So maybe something a little bit like this. I quite liked that picture. So for us, this is quite strange, isn't it? It's quite an unusual idea. It's not really something that we have anymore. But actually, I think that it shows us some really cool things about God and about the Bible. And the first thing that I want to point out is that it shows that the law, the Old Testament law, was fair. So the law, that was the commands, that was the way that the Israelites were instructed to live in the Old Testament, was completely fair. You know, often we think about the Old Testament law as kind of being really cruelly harsh and unforgiving. And in some ways, that's not completely off. But actually, it is true to say that if the law was completely obeyed, as a system, it would have worked. It provided for everything. And if the Israelites did obey the law to the T, then there would have been safety for the innocent. It was well thought out, and it was thorough, and it provided for lots of different scenarios and situations. And here we can see that it gave protection for the innocent. So it was fair. I'll just read out verses 1 to 3. It says, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge, as I instructed you through Moses, so that anyone who kills a person accidentally and unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of blood.'" So there was safety for the innocent. There was protection for the innocent. Not consequence-free in this scenario, but there was a level of protection and safety. And interestingly enough, we can see here a point that we said so many times through our series in Matthew, was that we can see here that the sin is in the heart, isn't it? So actually the very act of killing someone in itself was not the main thing. The main thing was the heart intention behind it, was the anger or the malice or the selfish gain that came from it. So it wasn't consequence-free, as we see from this, if you killed someone accidentally, but it was nowhere near weighted as highly as if you did it deliberately or intentionally. So there was protection for the innocent, but the system was fair. And we see in the next few verses that they had to stand trial. So verses 4 to 7, it says, "When he flees to one of these cities,
He is to stand in the entrance of the city gate and state his case before the elders of that city. Then they are to admit him into their city and give him a place to live with them. If the avenger of blood pursues him, they must not surrender the one accused, because he killed his neighbor unintentionally and without malice aforethought. He is to stay in that city until he has stood trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest who is serving at that time. Then he may go back to his own home in the town from which he fled. So we can see clearly that they had to stand trial. It wasn't just a free pass. It wasn't just free entry. And of course, the implication of that is that whilst the law provided protection for the innocent, it did not give protection for the guilty. Now, it's really easy to assume, or it's easy to think, that this existence, the very existence of these cities of refuge, where people could hide if they killed someone accidentally, implies that murder or death was not taken seriously in the Old Testament. But actually, it's the complete and utter opposite. It's because murder was taken so seriously that the cities of refuge existed. Because under the law, if you killed someone, that meant that you completely lost all your rights. You lost all your rights to life. And so we see right from the beginning in Genesis, chapter 9, verse 6 says, and this is God speaking directly, he says, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man." So death is not taken lightly at all. It is taken seriously. It is a serious thing. And actually, the avenger of blood that is spoken about in here, which would normally be kind of like a next of kin, would be completely acting legally if they killed the person who had killed their loved one. It was completely within their law. If you have killed someone, that means you have forfeited your rights to life, and you should expect punishment. Except if they were in a city of refuge. The city of refuge was the only place where you could be declared innocent and you could live in safety. And actually, even once you had been declared innocent in the city of refuge, the moment you left it, you immediately reinstated the judgment before. So you re-forfeited your life and your right to life. And the avenger of blood, if you leave that city, is once again, completely within his rights to kill the manslaughterer. So within this principle of the cities of refuge, we can see God's heart. We can see that he has a complete heart of justice, and that he does not let wrong things go. He does not let sin go unpunished. But at the same time, we completely see his heart of mercy, that he was merciful to those who were innocent. Now, today, we don't have cities of refuge. And today, as Christians, because of Jesus, we don't have to live under the Old Testament law in the same way as the Israelites did. But God is still the same. His heart of justice and mercy is still the same. And so we can realize a lot of things about God's character from this, and a lot of things that actually kind of come forward through into the new covenant. So, for example, there is still no protection for the guilty, in the sense that on judgment day, when we are standing before God, if we are found guilty, then we will be punished for it. God still hates sin, and sin still goes punished. There's no escape from that. Punishment, sin is punished. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. So there is still no protection for the guilty. So God is still just. But yet, God is still merciful. And there is still protection for the innocent. For the innocent, there is protection. But the problem is, and the problem, of course, of humanity, that our main number one fault is that we all have sin. We all have a sinful heart. So before God, actually none of us are innocent, are we? We have all done things that have hurt God or have hurt others. We've all done things that have caused separation between us and God. So really, the only one innocent person, truly innocent person who ever lived on earth, had to take the punishment for us so that we could be declared innocent. And that person was Jesus Christ. So on the cross, Jesus took the punishment for us so that through him, we could come to him and be declared innocent. So Jesus is our city of refuge. He is where we go to where if we want to be declared innocent. He is the place we go to with our sins to be declared innocent before God. He is our hiding place from death and from punishment and from pain. Now, those people that were going to the city of refuge, they needed to do three things. The first thing they needed to do, once they had killed someone, was they need to realize that they were in danger. They need to realize and understand the massive danger that they were in, that now they had done this, even if it was accidental, even if it was unintentional, they were in danger. And whilst they were outside of the city, they were completely exposed and vulnerable to being killed. So they needed to understand that they were in grave danger. And once they had realized that, they then needed to realize where their hope was. They needed to realize, I'm in danger. I need to go to the city of refuge. So they needed to understand that they were in danger, and then they needed to understand that they needed to run. They needed to run to the city, not looking back, running straight to it, and begging for entrance, begging for mercy at the gate of the city. And then the third thing that they needed to do was they needed to stay there. They needed to stay there. They needed to stand trial. They needed to remain in the city throughout the duration of the trial and throughout the duration of the life of the current high priest. Because the moment they left, they again re-forfeited their lives. And so actually, we need to do the same, don't we? We need to first of all realize that we are in danger. We need to realize that without God, without Jesus Christ, we are in danger because the wages of sin is death. The punishment for sin is death. We need to understand that we are all in grave danger because God is just and he doesn't let things just, he can't let sin go unpunished. But once we have realized we are in danger, we need to run to our city of refuge. We need to run to Christ. We need to head straight for him. We need to ask him for forgiveness, beg for mercy in the knowledge that he will take us in. He will accept us. And once we have run to Christ, we need to remain in him. We need to stay in him. We need to cling to him because he is the place we go to. He is the place where we go to be declared innocent. He is the place where we go to have freedom from guilt and sin and death. So if this morning you are not a Christian, then I just really want to challenge you to think about that. I want you to challenge you to think about the danger that you could be in outside of Christ. Now, I realize that maybe not all of you necessarily agree with what I'm saying, but at the very least, what I want to ask you to do is to take what I'm saying seriously. Because if what I'm saying is true, then it literally is a matter of life and death, isn't it? It literally is. It is of massive eternal consequence. And if what I'm saying is not true, then I don't know, I'm an idiot and I've got it all wrong and I'm living my life for a lie. But if what I'm saying is true, then it is worth it and it is worth exploring. You can't afford to take this kind of thing lightly. You can't afford to ignore it. You can't afford to be apathetic towards it. So all I'm really asking for you to do is to think seriously about what I'm saying and to take the claims of the Bible seriously. To consider it, to pray about it if you dare. And if you are a Christian today, I want to encourage you to cling to Jesus Christ, to cling to him as your city of refuge. Remember that wherever you are and whatever you do, he is your protection. He is your refuge. He is your safety. In him, you are declared innocent. In him, you are safe. In him, you are guilt-free. In him you have freedom and safety. So in a second, Anna Strain has created a dance for us. So we're going to watch that in a second. And she's going to show us that actually this world is broken, isn't it? This world is broken, it is messed up. And there is hurt and there is pain. And the only place we can go to for protection, for safety, is Jesus Christ. So I'm just going to close in a quick word of prayer, and then we'll hand over to Anna. Lord God, thank you so much that you have provided a city of refuge for us. Thank you so much that you have made a way that we can be declared innocent in your sight. Thank you so much that you are a place where we can go and we can hide and we can be safe. Lord God, remind us of that, Lord God. Remind us that in you there is safety. In you there is freedom and there is protection. I pray, Lord God, that you would remind us every day to cling to you, to draw close to you, to hide in your presence, to remain in there, Lord God, because you are good and you are worth it, Father. Help us to understand more and more every day what it means to live our lives as Christians, turning and transforming into Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.